I have been waiting to teach on this, it feels like forever. I'm really excited about this series, and I'm really excited to be here. And the sermon today is, will you move in with me? And that's not an invite from me, but that's an invite from Jesus. And he invites us into these rooms of grace, these moments and these places where we can find this life that God always wanted for us. And so we're going to be talking about, through this summer, we're going to be talking about spiritual disciplines. And some of you right now are like, oh my goodness, I've heard this before, right? Like these things of prayer, these things of Bible reading. I remember hearing these as a kid, these things of solitude, these things of fasting, and going, man, I just feel guilty when they say those words, because I'm undisciplined at times and I don't do these things how I should do these. And I wasn't convicted. I was just feeling bad about myself and my inability to practice these chores. Well, we're not going to be looking at them as chores. We're going to be looking at them as these rooms of grace, because they're not. They're not chores, but there's something very, very different than that. And I think part of the reason that we entered into that place, or my heart enters into that place, is that I think about God and I think about like these spiritual disciplines. If I just pray and just read my Bible, and you should be doing those things. But if I have these moments of solitude and these moments of meditation, meditation became a bad word like in the 70s when yoga came into the scene. But the church has always practiced meditation. And so we're going to be talking about things like that. Like, what does this mean? What does this look like? But the reason that we don't receive these rooms of grace, these places that God has created for us to walk into his presence, the reason that we don't, because I think we often think we can't do it. It's for the spiritually elite. It's for the really righteous. And I don't think it is for the really righteous. I think it's for the really unrighteous who need a reminder that Jesus is the one who's righteous. And that's why we go into these places. And God's not sitting up there with a checklist going, well, they got that one checked off. They did their fasting for the month. They did their Bible reading. He's not doing that. He's just like inviting, just inviting. Like, come on, come hang out with me. Come live in this reality with me. Come live in this place with me. And if I'm honest, though, I fall into this trap that I can do this, or I'm going to be in this place where I can make this all happen. And part of it is that I'm a professional Christian. And so I'm supposed to be good at these, right? And I will just tell you, like, I don't know, most people don't know what we do. Like, it looks like we have a sweet gig that we work like one day a week. It's not true. But just so you know, that's not what we do. And it's not like we're just sitting there and sitting up there like, it's meditation time, staff. Let's do that. No one's doing that. Like, it's like more spreadsheets and phone calls and like going, holy smokes, this thing is coming. And we, this Sunday thing is coming. This thing is coming. We don't have all of the things in place. And it's pressure and it's a lot. And yet I still have to figure out these rooms of grace, these places of grace, these disciplines. And it's not because I'm trying to earn God's favor, but it's really this reality that God wants to give me, this tired feller, these places, these spaces where I can rest, where I can receive, not achieve. The spiritual discipline is a receiving. It's not an achieving. And if you fall into that category of thinking that it's achieving something, you're not there. And we're gonna say that a lot, and you're gonna get sick of me saying that. But we don't walk into these spiritual habits trying to achieve. We walk into these places to hear the very voice of God, to hear the very places of grace that he's prepared for us. And I'm convinced that there's a couple of places that people get stuck in this when we say this. One is that you get to this place and you go, man, I'm not practicing because I don't think it really matters. I don't think you consciously say that. Like, no one's going to really say that. Like, it doesn't really matter if I do these things. Like, we know we're all supposed to do these things, but we just kind of, it's hard. And we're like, I don't know if it really matters. Or we're just apathetic. And you get caught in that place we're just kind of apathetic. Like, my life's pretty good already. But what if God wants a better, bigger thing for you? What if God wants this life that he always wanted for you? And these are really just pathways to it. These are just places that we get to it. So I think that's one of the categories, is this apathy doesn't really matter. And the other one is that you've tried it before. You've tried fasting before, or you've tried Bible reading or a scripture reading plan, and it didn't go well. And then shame and guilt hit, and you'd never want to go back in that category again, right? And how many of you guys, let's just get an amen on this. How many of you have started like a couple of Bible reading plans in your life, and like 5 days in you went, oh, no, didn't make it there. Anybody else there? I got my hand up, right? We've all done that, right? And then you feel guilty, and then you feel, oh, I got to get back to that. And then life gets crazy and busy. But here's our God. Just come on back. Come on back. Come on back. That's the spiritual discipline. Just come on back. I'm inviting you into the room. I'm inviting you into this place. And when you bounce between thinking that spiritual disciplines don't matter, or they determine our like favor with God, we end up in a cycle that I think is just, it's just cruel. It's a cruel place to be. It leaves us drained. It leaves me disoriented. It means me going, man, I don't know what to do, because if I do that and I don't make it, like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm going to feel guilty again. And then the cycle just keeps turning over and over. And you don't end up joyful. You don't end up, I don't think, more devoted. And I mean, as a kid, I tried these things, but I didn't end up, I don't think, any closer to God. And that's really the very presence of God, because it was all me trying to do this. It was me trying to trust my own willpower, my own, and I didn't really understand it. And what changed for me, is not, how do I do this better? Because that's inviting me to do it. It was this question. It was a question of, well, Jesus is inviting me into a life. What kind of life does he want me to have? What kind of life does he want me? That's a different question. Because it's going, okay, what kind of life do you want for me, Jesus? Instead of like, oh, I know the life, and I'm just running, and I'm just trying to achieve. Because once you understand that Jesus, he's not calling us in to grind out grace. He's calling us not into these obligations and this ladder to climb and to achieve, but opportunities to receive something from him. When you start to understand that, spiritual disciplines become a place where you can go. A space where you just receive from God. And it's a beautiful place. It's not a place, again, for, I think, the overly righteous. But it's for those people who are just tired and weary. And anybody get any hands up on that? You're just tired, just weary. It's a place, it's a rest stop for us that God has created. Jesus invites us, he interrupts our life in our overbooked rhythms, and he leads us back into life with him. John 10:10, this is the verse when I ask that question, what is the life that Jesus wants for me? John 10 says, let's just read the B part, I've came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I've come to give you life to the full. That's the invitation. I like that invitation. I think you should like that invitation. Who doesn't want an abundant life? Who doesn't want a life to the full? Who doesn't want the thing that Jesus promises? This is a promise to us. But we have to remember the top part of that verse. The thief comes only to what? To steal and kill and destroy. Jesus comes to give life, in an abundant life, and the thief comes to kill and destroy. And I thought about that, and we think about it in like terms of like Satan, right? And that's true, that's what it's talking about, the prince of this world. But I was thinking about it in just more practical ways. Like, what comes, what pursuits do I have that I think are going to provide joy for me? I will tell you, there are times where I come home and you know, from all my fasting and praying at the office, I'm just tuckered. And I come home and I go, man, I am just watching Netflix for the next 4 hours because that's what's going to restore my soul. That's what's going to do it. Oh, and guess what? It doesn't. I'd never go. I've learned to go, God, you're the one. You're the one that restores me. You're the rest stop. God, help me. Because that's a thief. That's something that's going to kill. That thing is going to kill a lot of time, right? And I'm not against Netflix. I'm not against watching TV. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if I'm looking for that, or maybe I'm looking to the just a little glass of vino or two, that's really where I'm going, because that's what I need to trust in, because that's what's going to give me the joy. That's a problem. Jesus says, man, it's me. I'm the one. I'm the one who gives you this. I'm the one who has come to give this abundant life to you. He came to restore a kind of life that we were created. Jesus is inviting us into something new. If we go just a few chapters later, and you can turn here in your Bibles with me, to John chapter 15. Jesus says this. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. What kind of life did Jesus invite us into? An abundant life. Well, now he's promising something else that I think is a part of the abundant life. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I like joy. I think you all do too. Well, what are these things? What are these things that he's speaking of? These things I have spoken to you. Oh, this is what he says. In verse 4, we have to jump up a little bit. He says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it's going to be given or done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. He uses this word abide, 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 abide. And it's a fancy word to say dwell. You come and live with me. You come. He's inviting us into a life with him. He's saying, man, would you just come and live with me? Abide in me. Abide in me. He uses that word abide. Unless it abides in the vine, whoever abides in me, if anyone does not abide in me, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will abide in my love. And it means, it's a really churchy word, but it just means come home. Come home. You were always designed to abide in Jesus. You were always designed to abide with God. You were always designed to be in a relationship with your Creator. And all Jesus is saying is, you need to do this. If you will do this, you're going to have all of these things. You're going to have this joy that I promise. The joy that is in me will be in you. In John chapter 14, Jesus is about to leave, and he's about to go to the cross. And the disciples are freaking out, rightly so. They're kind of freaking out. And he says this, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if you go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may all be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, one, he's using that, this house language, right? He says, man, there is this house that I have for you. This thing, this place where you can go and you can be. And my Father has many rooms in it. And I'm going to prepare this place for you. And it is talking about the second coming. He's going to come back and he's going to take us and we're going to be with him in heaven. And why is heaven awesome? It's not because of the streets of gold. It's not because of all the seas and all of those things. Heaven is awesome because God, like we're in the very presence of God. But what he is also saying is what? He's like, I'm going to prepare this place for you. I will come again and I will take you to that. But I'm also here with you now. And he says, you can go to this place. And Thomas says, well, we don't know how. Abide in him. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. What is Jesus saying? I am the ultimate reality. That's what he's saying. I'm the one who's brought all of this together. Like, we think we see reality and we pursue things that are not really actually real. The Netflix show. They are not my friends, even though I think they might be, right? I watch a lot of Leave It to Beaver. I looked up all those guys. They're really old. Like, they're, and some of them aren't even living anymore. But I watch it a lot. I love Leave It to Beaver. It's just a great show. They're not my friends. Jesus said, man, I'm the ultimate reality. I am the way. I can see this world for what it is and what the truth of it is. And I am the one who produces life. I'm the one who produces life. I have come to give you life. I've come to give it to you abundantly. What do we need to do to have abundant life? We need to abide in him. We need to abide in him. Oftentimes, I think, when we think about this abiding in Jesus, we just miss it. And we kind of visit the reality once in a while. Like when I was a kid, I would do devotions. They were mostly on the porcelain throne. It was a daily bread, and I did it really quickly. And because I needed to check off a box, right? And I abided with Jesus, right? Like that's what I thought it meant. But like just to like man, I will tell you, my sauna is this sanctuary of places where God meets with me. Because why? Because I listen to his word and I pray. And it is different than just, I don't always do that. Sometimes I just listen to country music because that's good. Sometimes I listen to the Biebs. Sometimes that's what it's like, right? But there's other times where I'm just listening for the voice of God, that I could hear him. And when those saunas happen, when the voice of God comes into my life, guess what? There is joy. There is peace. There is this place where I've been and where I've met with him, where the kingdom of God has come down upon me in this little wooden box with the heat of hell coming off of that thing. And it's a wonderful thing. And I'm reminded that God loves me. I'm reminded that it's not my righteousness, but his righteousness. I'm reminded of these things that I need to be reminded of. And oftentimes I just do a quick little text to God on the way to work and I just pray, right? And those are good. But like to dwell, to be in this house with him is different. It's different. It's a different place. Because we start to see things clearly. We start to see this reality in a different way. What if the spiritual disciplines aren't religious checklists or spiritual chores? What if they're just these reality marks? What if these are these rest stops for these weary travelers in this world where God is calling us into the truth? He's calling us into the way. He's calling us into the life. He's calling us into the rooms that help us to dwell with him. What if prayer is like the living room? Where you settle in and the conversation flows. You've been in like a friend's house or maybe you're a kid and like the adults were talking. And you're just listening. You're just hearing. You know, the conversation between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has been going on for all eternity. And when we pray, we get to go boldly into that conversation that has been going on for all eternity. That's pretty amazing. And we even get to speak. We're not just kids who are like seen and not heard. Like, we get to speak. Jesus says, if you can ask anything. If you're dwelling, if you're abiding in me, if you're in my house, you can ask anything in my name, and I'm going to give it to you. What if spiritual disciplines are that? What if fasting is the kitchen where, like, the cravings of this world, let's be honest. Church, let's be honest. This world looks delicious sometimes, doesn't it? It looks delicious. There are things in this world that tempt us. And my flesh is weak at times. But what if fasting is to quiet those cravings? To quiet those cravings? To remember that he's the life. He's the way. He's the one that nourishes. He's the one that feeds me. He's the one that fills me with the joy that I so desire and I so seek after. At times, these things of the world that I think are going to do it. But he's the one that does it. What if that's what fasting does? What if just rest, Sabbath, taking a break from the rhythm of... It's kind of like the bedroom where you stop holding the world together. Some of you, let's just be honest, you are all control freaks, right? Let's just be honest. I can be that way too. I have issues sometimes where I think I can control and hold everything up all at one time. And God, what if Sabbath is just like, no, you don't have the world in your hand. I have it. And I got you. What if that's what rest does? What if that's what Sabbath does? What if that's what this motion of faith going, God, I can't do all of these things. I can't keep, but I'm just going to stop for just a moment and rest. I'm going to stop and I'm going to trust you. What if that act is just to point us that we're not the ones in control? And that we find our rest in him, the way, the truth, and the life. What if that's it? None of this is about trying harder. It's about entering deeper. It's very different. It's deeper into the joy, deeper into the purpose, deeper into the kind of life that God has wanted for each one of us and wants for you. What if each discipline wasn't just what we thought when we were hear those words of meditation? You know, I hear it in a steeple throat type of a voice. Meditation. Bible reading and prayer, God. I don't know who God that God is, but what if that's not what he's inviting us into? What if he's not inviting us all into being monks, but he's inviting us to be who God has created us in the most powerful way that is possible? Like the way and the truth and the life we see reality. What if that's it? Well, that's what we're going to be walking through throughout this whole series. But I want to go back to John 15. And I want to go through some I want to make it practical. Because if it's not practical, like we can have a great teaching, but if we don't have application, you have a sermon notes on the way out. We don't have small groups. We're on hiatus right now. And so we usually have sermon-based questions for that, but I couldn't resist myself. And so you have some little nuggets of questions to process what we're talking about today. And remember this, the sermon, it's not the point. It's just the push to the reality of the transformation that God wants for you. And so just so you know, they're in there for you. There's some questions, but I want to make it real practical. What if Jesus in John 15, 5, when he says, whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. What if we just think about it for just a moment, this abiding, this dwelling, as this big house. And when he says abide, and he says that there's this fruit if we abide in him. Think about a dining table, dining room table. You get to eat there. You get to enjoy there. And what happens at the dining room table? There is, if you're sitting there, and my family's all gone, and I will tell you, I sat and ate in the Lazy Boy all by myself. I didn't sit at the dining room table. But when they're all there, there's conversation happening. There's this movement of it, and there's an energy there. And he says, what if it's a dining room table in God's house, and we abide in him, and we're able to feed others with the fruit that happens in that dining room place that we have. In that conversation starts to change things. It's the place where we offer what we have to others. Here's the deal. You cannot offer the things of the way, the truth, and the life unless you have those things. And what if this abiding in him allows us to offer this wonderful grace to other people? What if it's this fruit that is for all people at the dining room table? What if it's for my family? What if it's for my family? What would it look like if we had abide in it? Maybe it's in your attitude and your tone, your patience, your peace. Your family doesn't need you to be more impressive at the dining room table. They need to be for you to be present at the dining room table. And so maybe, like, when we're abiding in Christ, we're just more present with them. When you're abiding, your words start to nourish the ones around you. Instead of reacting with frustration, you respond with patience. Instead of sarcasm, you speak life. You speak life. Here's just an exercise. This week, maybe you're sitting around at the dining room table. Maybe you're at your couches or however you eat at your house. I don't really know. But you just ask simply a question. What is one thing that you're thankful for? And one person that you encouraged today? I think the first one's easier probably than the second one for some of us, if we're honest, right? Like, how have you spoken? How have you given this fruit that Jesus has given you, and you bear this fruit of who he is? How have you given that away? Maybe it was with a friend. When you're abiding, you're not just giving advice, but you're offering, like, remember who Jesus is. When you're abiding in him, the way, the truth, and the life, he is the ultimate reality. You're not just giving advice, you're giving wisdom about reality because you bear much fruit. Because it's in you, it can come out of you. Let's go on to the next one. Actually, there's a question I want to ask before that. Who's sitting at your table? Who are you able to give this fruit away of abiding with Christ? And do they deserve that? The answer to that is yes, just so you know. They do deserve that, right? So abide in Christ and you get to give this away. It's amazing. Because you're giving something away. There's some type of fruit that they're tasting. John 15:7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. What if this is just this word, like Jesus' word abiding in us? It's like the study. It's this quiet place, this quiet quiet room in the house where you think, you read, you reflect. It's a place where ideas are formed, where questions are just wrestled with, where your thoughts are reshaped. And Jesus says, when my words live in you, not just visit you, like on a Sunday morning, but they actually live in you, it shifts something. It shifts what? It shifts our desires. It shifts our prayers. It shifts our tone. Because here's the truth. God's word doesn't just inform you. It forms you. Did you see that coming? I worked hard on that line. Now, come on. It begins to renovate how we think. It begins to renovate how we see. So what does that look like in our home? Maybe in your home, you've been in your study, you've been in this reality of the study with God, and it starts to interrupt that inner dialogue in your head. That inner dialogue that is so easy, that is just there. And when the spouse comes in and they say something snarky to you, what's our natural response in our inner dialogue? To be really quick and witty and really snarky back. What if it just interrupts that? What if it just interrupts those places and interrupts and you catch that? That argument you're ready to win, you choose grace instead because of the abiding of the Word of God. You've lived in that room with Jesus, and it just changes you. With your friends, when you've abided in the Word of God, you don't just say trendy things. Sometimes you say offensive things, right? Sometimes you say you say things that are just true, and that happens to be offensive at times. Maybe it's just going, man, in our dialogue with each other, when the Word of God is in us, I think it comes out in our conversations, right? And so like maybe somebody is just complaining about something, just really wrestling with something and really, really difficult. And like, what do you think God's trying to teach you in this? Just a simple question. We vent to each other. It's kind of how, but what, maybe God's trying to teach them something. Maybe it's just offering that up, that there is this thing that maybe God is trying to teach you, and just pointing people there. When the Word abides in you, you don't need to be the loudest voice at work. But you do become the clearest one. Because he is the ultimate reality. You don't just read scriptures to know more. You read them to become someone different. When you let the Word of God abide in you, it starts doing the talking for us. Question for you. What's forming your thoughts right now? Is it your Netflix? Is it your novels that you're reading? Is it the Word of God? Is it your political radio? What's forming your thoughts? If God's not in there anywhere, that's a dangerous place to be. I love this part of the verse in John 15:9. It says, as the Father has loved me, So have I loved you. Who does not want to abide in the love of God? It says, abide in my love. It's the center of the house of God. It's the reason that God came for us, because he loved us. He died on a cross for us. He sent his one and only son to die on a cross for us. It is the center of the home of God. It's the center of the abiding in Christ, is to realize that we are a sinner in need of a savior. And when we understand that, and when we go to that place where we know that we are loved by God, we settle in it. Guess what? There's not this fear that's in us. There's not this performance. There's not this guilt, I think, that comes out of it. But there's this unwavering realization that God loves me. Right where I'm at, right now. He loves me the way that I am. Not the way that he desires for me. He's shaping that. He's molding that. But he loves me. That's a hard one for me. It's a hard one for me to wrestle with my heart. But I need it so often to wrestle with it. Like, I don't have to perform. I don't have to do everything. And when I'm away from that picture of that God loves me, right where I'm at in this moment, he wants to change me, and I try to achieve his love, that's when I get into trouble. It's where I get into trouble. When I'm trying to earn God's approval, instead of learning to live in it. God, if you've said yes to Jesus, he's already approved you. You're approved. You have the stamp of Jesus on your life and on your heart. The Bible says that you are sealed, that you're connected to him. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's what the Bible says about you. Love isn't the welcome mat at the front door of your faith. It's the foundation of all the rooms. When you're abiding in Jesus' love, I think it changes how you parent. It's not out of the pressure. It's out of the presence of this peace that's within you. You don't demand perfection from your spouse or your kids. You create spaces for grace, because if you're abiding in God's love, you realize that you're a person that needs space for grace. With friends, if you're rooted in the love, you don't need to impress your friends. I think you just need to enjoy them. And there is something about just enjoying another human for who they are. You don't have to impress them, just enjoying their friendship. You don't have to one-up their stories or hide your weakness. You can just be who you are, because you know your identity in Christ. You know that you're loved by the Father. At work, when you abide in Jesus' love, you're not chasing identity through productivity. You work from love, not for it. So here's the big question we've been circling all day. Is Jesus just visiting you, or is he moving in? Are you just visiting him, or are you going to move in with him? Are you going to move in to the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus, I am glad you're here at church, but he's not just interested in a weekly appointment. He wants your permanent address to be with him. Your permanent address, like daily, hanging out with Jesus. Living, abiding, believing, trusting, praying. The spiritual disciplines, they're not a checklist for achievers. They're doorways into living a different life that God has for you, inviting you to live in this abundant life. The prayers that we have, and there are times where they're concentrated and there's just this moment, but our prayers should be coming out of us. And God, help me now. Like, I'm here. God, help me now. God, here's what's going on in my heart. I see that I don't like that person over there, and I know you love them. Like, that, like, confessional prayers are good too, not just request prayers. Because he begins to change things. He begins to change. But that's abiding in him. He's not looking, I don't think God is looking for you to do all of these things in one moment, in one time, and like, let's just get them out of the way, because you're a big achiever. I think he's asking you and inviting you into these places of grace. He's inviting me into these places of grace, of fasting and prayer and scripture and solitude. Because every time we walk into one of these habits, you're not proving something to him. You're practicing what it means to live in his house. Here's the good news. We're going to walk through each of these rooms together, one week at a time. Next week, we're going to explore the room, the meditation room. There will be incense. No, there won't be. Where silence speaks, and I can't wait for this one. This one is one I learned a while back, and I struggled. Like, I struggle to sit still, and I'm thinking about all these other things. But if you can get to this place, it takes about 30 minutes before you start to hear the very voice of God. We're going to talk about how to do that, what that looks like. What does it mean to live in the meditation room where God's truth settles in deep and deeper than the noise that's all around us? Let's ask you not to miss that. I'm so excited about that next week. But really what I'm excited about is because I think as a church, as we do this together, as we enter into these rooms with God, that is going to change us corporately as it changes us individually. Because if we're all abiding and dwelling, it's going to have a profound transformation on our hearts. It's going to have a profound transformation on the life that God wants for you and for us. And so let's do this together. Let's pray. Father, we come thankful for your word. Thankful that you are a God who came for us. Thankful that, God, that you understand that we're weary travelers and sometimes we're just tired. And you just keep inviting us into these places of grace, into these places that we can find you. And find this life that is life to the full, this abundant life that you promise. God, I pray right now. I pray right now for these places that we think are going to give us joy and that we run to. God, that you would just show us those. That you would show us this week where we run to those things instead of you. And that we could just pause for just a moment and go, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord because that's where I'm going to dwell forever and ever. And I want to start today. God, we ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus, believing and trusting that you've heard us and that you will answer. It's in his name we pray. Amen.